Man, I'm so glad that y'all could join us today. You know, I love those words that we were singing because those are very biblical words, that God is our rock and our shield. In our Greek way of thinking, which we all think this way, thanks to philosophers and other people, we put these words on God that are very difficult to understand. You know, that God is omniscient, which means God is all-knowing, and God is, omnipresent. God is everywhere. But Hebrews, and in the Old Testament, they would say things that were always tangible. You know, God is my rock. Boy, I can wrap my head around that. God is a stream of living water for me. God is my shield. And I hope you realize as we sing those things, those are all ways that God has revealed himself in names that are given to him from his word. He's revealed himself by his name. I love that. Praise the Lord for who God is. You know, I looked up the word peace in the dictionary. It said this: freedom from disturbance. And then it said quiet and tranquility. Boy, that sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Who could use peace in here in your life? All of those words, would they just, come on, jump into my heart and into my life, right? But why don't we take a look and just observe peace around us every day, right? Why don't we just zoom out in a big way? I mean, think about the universe. Stars right now are collapsing, you know, as we speak. Has anybody been watching the news about this asteroid that's circling around us? You can see it right now with the naked eye outside, and all these doomsday things that are going along with it. Meteors are coming into the earth. So you could say in our universe that chaos might be a little bit better way to describe it, right? So, you know, we zoom into our world, and we've just come off of the heels of the greatest typhoon ever in recorded wind speed history. That is an amazing statement to make. You know, and it hit the Philippines, and we pray for our brothers and our sisters over there in the Philippines. They still haven't even gotten to some villages yet because the debris is so bad that they're still trying to dig their way through. Unbelievable what is going on over there. We know places like the Middle East are going to be fighting until the end of times, right? Because that's exactly what it tells us in God's word. And so we look at our world and we understand, okay, chaos, war, this is the opposite of peace that's going on. So we zoom into the United States and think, well, maybe we're going to be a banner of peace and light to the rest of the world. But all you have to do is mention the word politics, and need we say any more, right? There, maybe not the perfect model of peace. But I wonder if we zoom into your heart and in your life, are you in peace? Not do you look like you're in peace when everybody is looking at you, but when you look into the mirror in the morning, is your heart in peace? Do you know what you can control out of all of those things that I just mentioned to you? Nothing. Nothing. And it might come as a surprise to you, but all of those things are out of our grasp of what we can control. Here's the only thing that we can control. We can choose to submit our lives to the Lord, to give our lives to the Lord, and let the God who gives us peace come and reign in our hearts. Guys, you're never going to find any peace outside of Jesus Christ being Lord of your life and Lord of your heart. You're never going to find peace outside of the cross, the death that Jesus died, and the resurrection and the life that he gives. So that's what I have in control. In this space right around me, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life, and I want your peace to reign in me. And then with the other stuff, I'm just going to trust you. Let's start explaining it a little bit. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1. Now, we've been digging through Isaiah for several weeks, and I told you we're going to hop around chapter to chapter, so this has a very different tone than the ones that we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks. Some of you say, bless the Lord, it has a different tone than what we've been talking about. Verse 1, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. He's praising the Lord. Do you realize that if you want peace in your heart and in your life, that peace begins with praise to God? Man, some of us have never understood this before. Our praise is simply acknowledging that God is over us, is around us. It's giving him credit for the things that he is doing and the way that he is at work around us. Well, what is Isaiah praising him for? Well, oh Lord, you are my God. He is God. I'm just going to tell you, some of you don't even understand this right here, that God is God and you are not. And that's where it begins, okay? I realize that life is not about Jonathan, but it's about God's authority, God's supremacy, God being God. This is praise. He says, I will exalt you. He's lifting up the Lord and he recognizes that God is in a position that is over us. You see, we only see what's at the end of our nose, don't we? We only see maybe a few hours, a few days, a few months in advance. But God, in his holiness and his loftiness, sees from a different perspective. And we're going to start to understand when we praise how our perspectives shift here. He says, I will praise your name. Now, I love that. I love what we were saying earlier, how God has revealed himself to us by his name. And granted, this is a whole sermon unto itself, each one of these little things. But when we realize, okay, God is my strength. God is my rock. God is my shield. We serve an amazing, powerful, awesome God who is worthy to meet the task of any single thing that we face in our lives, multiple things that we face in our lives. Now, we have to realize this, that we follow Jesus, right? And it says of Jesus that he is a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow above the heaven, in the heavens and on the earth and below the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when we call on the name of Jesus, every name that's in that Old Testament, rock, strength, shield, living water, all of those things are all summed up in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ. That's awesome, isn't it? What an incredible name. When we praise him for his name. He says, for you have done wonderful things, plans that have been formed from old. So we recognize the acts of God. And we realize that there is no other like God when we praise him. And that God is able to take things, even like a typhoon that demonstrates incredible power, that even in the bad things, he's able to work everything together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. It says that he is faithful and sure. So he's unchanging. His faithfulness continues. And get this, with God being sure, no mistakes. God isn't making a mistake. Think of this all the time. When girls, so many of you, women, so many of you look at me with those eyes that say, I'm ugly and my body isn't right. And I wish that God had made me beautiful. Are you kidding me? That you want to tell the Creator that he made a mistake in the way that he formed you and formed your body? God doesn't make mistakes. He's sure, and you have been formed with a reason and with a purpose just the way that you are. You see how when we start to praise God, boy, the perspective starts shifting just a little bit. It's no wonder praise brings peace. So I love in that last song, we sang hallelujah, which literally means that we praise Yahweh. We praise the Lord. So this is utmost. So everything that Isaiah is saying right here is wrapped up in the hallelujah. We're praising God for his name. We're praising him for the way that he is. We're praising him for his works, for the way that he can do everything for the good of those who love the Lord. That's all in the hallelujah when we cry it out to the Lord. So we're just going to praise him for a second, all right? So men, are you with me, men? Oh, men, here we go, okay? So men, we're going to sing hallelujah. Ladies, I want you to listen to this, all right? Men, don't disappoint me. We're going to sing it. bless the Lord. You know, I didn't have to have my eyes open to realize some of you weren't singing. Why is that? Because we're worried about the person that's sitting next to us, right? And this service isn't as full as a 10 o'clock service, so our voices stand out a little bit more. But is praise about the person that's sitting next to you? Or is it about focusing in on the Lord? You see, this is where so many of us have missed it with praise, that we can look like we're praising with the people that are sitting next to us, but that doesn't bring peace. What brings peace is when the world is stripped away and it's me before the Lord, and I'm lifting these things up to the Lord and hallelujah, to say, God, I praise you. And now I see things the way that you see them. So church, we're going to try it again. Let's stand together, men and women together. Let's lift this up from the bottom of our hearts. Hallelujah to the Lord. Isn't it amazing, even in that, that you just feel this, just the peace of the Lord in praise? Maybe some of us need to pattern our lives after this a little bit more on a day-to-day basis, where it's just us and God, and we're just praising Him. Why don't you be seated? Hallelujah. In verse 6, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away, he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isn't that a cool chapter? I mean, a cool paragraph? Man, I love it. And for those of you that are familiar with the Bible, it kind of feels like Isaiah is borrowing a sentence from every book of the Bible, right? And just forming them up into one. Do you realize that he wrote this paragraph 800 years before Christ was born? 800 years before he was born, these words were written down. And maybe you want to circle these things. Maybe you want to underline them. But he says, on this mountain, in Isaiah chapter 2, he talks about the mountain of the Lord. It is literally Jerusalem, how one day Jesus, the Christ, will set up his kingdom there on Zion, on the mountain of the Lord in Jerusalem, and rule and reign as King of kings and Lord of lords, and every nation and every body will know him. He says this, that he's going to prepare a feast of rich food. We read about that feast in Matthew 22. We read about it again in Revelation chapter 19. He says the feast will have well-aged wine. We see in John chapter 2, Jesus changing water into wine and transforming man's efforts into God's blessing. An incredible verse. We even see in Luke chapter 5, and I don't have time to explain it, how Jesus is the well-aged wine. We see him say he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. We know veils from brides, right, who have a veil over their face. Do you realize when Moses would come down from the mountain, he would have a veil that was in front of his face because his face would shine with the glory of the Lord after he had been visiting with the Lord. It freaked people out. It scared them. Moses, you're making us afraid. So he put a veil over his face. And then Paul in 2 Corinthians, he says this, you people that still follow Moses, you people that still follow the law, that think it's about what you do in this life and how hard you work in this life and not about the Lord, it's like a veil still covers your face and with your heart and covers your heart. But when you meet Jesus, when he's your Savior, when he's your King, that veil is torn away and is lifted off. And he says, we all, with unveiled faces, reflect the glory of the Lord. And so everybody that we come in contact with, when they see you, they should be seeing the face of Jesus. When they hear you speak, it's the words of Jesus, because the veil is removed and they have an ability through you to meet Jesus Christ. That's awesome. It's not the only veil that's talked about, right? Moses does an incredible job preparing the tabernacle and the veil that's going to separate the presence of God from the people. And Solomon does such an incredible job. And what we know is that this veil was probably 4 inches thick. By the time it was in Jesus' day in Herod's temple, it was one woven piece that was almost 40 feet high, 4 inches thick of material. And yet at the moment that Jesus died on the cross, the veil that separated God's presence from the people was torn from the very top to the very bottom. Not like, ooh, this piece of paper just tore, let's get another one. No, an act of Almighty God opened up the pathway for us to be with the Lord. And Isaiah's calling it right here. 800 years earlier, Isaiah's speaking it. He says this, he will swallow up death forever. How could that possibly be fulfilled in any other person aside from Jesus Christ? And we read about it in Mark and in 1 Corinthians. He says, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. That's in Revelation 21:4. We know that's going to happen. And then the people will say, this is our God. We've waited for him that he might save us. Let us be glad. Let us rejoice in his salvation. And it's almost as if he's quoting John in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, where John says that us, we're going to be gathered around the throne room of God. We're going to be saying, salvation belongs to our God and unto the Lamb. And we're going to be saying, praise and blessing and wisdom and thanks and honor and power are his, belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. 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 And I see all of this that is chocked full in this paragraph. You know what is very evident is that peace is found in God's plan. Peace is found in the plan of God. And do you realize that you are a vital part of that plan? Isn't that incredible? I mean, every single word in this paragraph and every single sentence reveals the plan of God. Even 800 years before so much of this happened, the plan of God is being revealed. And I look on those pages and I see Jesus' name written all over those pages. But you know who else's name I see on there? Your name. Because the Lord wants to get a hold of your heart and use you to advance the kingdom of God to your neighbors, to your workplace, to your family, so that his peace can just rest and reign. I know that y'all like to think highly of your pastor, and I'm sorry that I disappoint you every week when I share a story about my life. But when Elizabeth and I several years ago moved from Temple to Rockport, in about 3 months' time, we accrued $12,000 of debt in credit cards. Woo, man, we were spending money like nobody's business, right? Think Jonathan, man, that's horrible. Well, we had a good excuse because we couldn't sell our home in Temple. So every month, you know, that was another $1,000 that I would open up the front door and throw it out the front door. That's what it felt like, at least. And then we had to pay for the move to come down. And then the cost of living in Rockport was significantly higher than Temple. And it took some time to adjust to it. But this is what happened. So, you know, we have 1.5 babies at the time, and there was one in the oven. And so, sorry if that was tacky. After 3 services, it just keeps coming out in a weird way. So, and we have this debt, and so we start feeling so bad about it. Man, we would go to Taco Bell, and we would feel so guilty. We should be at home eating peanut butter and jelly and paying for our debt, because now we can't give the way that the Lord wants us to give. We just feel bad about it. We would go see a movie and we would just feel so guilty. Man, We're such lousy Christians. We're here seeing a movie when we should be paying off this debt. And this monkey just jumped up on our back that weighed so much and we didn't know what to do with it. And before it was popular, somebody gave us Dave Ramsey's book, Financial Peace. I'm not here to promote Dave Ramsey. I'm just here to tell you my story. And so we read, and you know what we read in his book? There's a plan. We can put our finances into a plan to pay off our debt. So we can actually budget $100 a month towards eating out. And if we eat at Red Lobster two times, I'm not going to feel guilty about it because I got a plan that's in place to pay off my debt. Or if I choose to eat at Taco Bell 20 times, that's okay. The same amount of money and I still feel good about it, right? And the moment we started working and walking in that plan, oh, peace. You are a part of God's plan, a vital part. And God wants to use you to share Christ, to share his kingdom, to let it become known in this world. Rest in that plan. Have peace in that plan. In chapter 26, Isaiah says this in verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I recommend for some of you maybe to circle that or underline it and memorize this verse. I memorize it. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast upon you because he trusts in you. He says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. So we want peace in our lives. We wonder why chaos reigns. Well, peace is found in trusting in the Lord. Right? When the rubber meets the road, peace is found when we trust in the Lord. Do you realize that trust in God is never going to go away in your lives? You're never going to get to a place where you arrive and, oh, now I've got it made and now everything is better. I don't need to trust in the Lord. That's why we're grateful that God is an everlasting rock. Right? He never changes, always a sure foundation. So how do I know if I'm trusting in God? Is your mind steadfast upon him? Is it stayed upon him? Now, this Hebrew word for mind is about what is treasured up in here. What is stored up in here? What are the things imagined up here? Is the way that this word is used. And I wonder, what do you treasure in your mind? What do you fantasize about in your mind? You see, if God is not the central focus of those things, then there's probably not a lot of questioning that needs to go on to say, well, why is my heart in chaos when I still come to church? Because maybe you haven't learned how to trust in the Lord the way that he's asking you to trust in him. And those of you who know this, you know that it's not a forced thing, is it? I can't say, okay, today I'm going to think about you, God. I'm going to think about you, God, because that just gets my heart into this big mess more than I was in the first place. It's not a forced thing. I mean, you're either a sheep or you're a goat, according to the Bible, right? It's either who you are, where God has filled you up on the inside and the spring of a well of flowing water is coming out from you naturally, or it's not who you are. See, it's about romance. It's about love. I mean, when I'm with Elizabeth, the worst thing that I can do as a husband is say, okay, I'm going to do these things for my wife because I need to love her. I need to love her. She sees right through it every single time. Well, that was fake, Jonathan. Your heart really wasn't in it. You're right. But our relationship is so good when we have that opportunity to go on a date, to sit across the table and just communicate. Wow, I didn't know that that was what you valued. I didn't know that was what was your greatest struggle this past week. I didn't know that was what you were celebrating in your heart. And then we leave those times where we've bonded together and, oh, I just want to do stuff for her because I love her and I was reminded of that love. Maybe some of you that are having problems trusting the Lord don't need to spend time trying to trust him. You need to spend time rekindling that love with God. Opening up God's word and read the Gospels and remember the price that Jesus paid for you. Remember that he's coming back for you because he loves you so much. You want to see a picture of trust? Look here in verse 7. He says, the path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. When I memorize that verse, I memorize it, your name and renown are the desire of your soul. And I like that word better than remembrance because that's the way I remember it. That verse 8 is what started the entire passion movement across our nation, if you know what that is. He says, my soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. So Isaiah's trusting God. You see him seeing God's path. You see him waiting on the Lord. He's not forcing anything. You see that it's about God's name and not Isaiah's name, that it's about God's renown and fame, not himself being famous. You see, it's about yearning and seeking. And even when the bad judgment, difficult things happen, Isaiah sees God's righteousness in all of it. What a picture of trust and hope in the Lord. You know, those that know me know that I like to rock climb. And several years ago, I was a member of a rock climbing gym in Harker Heights. And it's 40 feet tall, so a little bit taller than I think this ceiling right here. And you climb up on this cliff, you know that hopefully you can scamper up the top and you attach your harness and your rope and all of that to it. And then somebody belays you. They make sure that you're not going to fall and be dead. That's very important. So every time that there was somebody new that would climb for the first time, they are always so panicky, you know, and so they want to know about all of the gear. Well, I don't think this harness is going to hold me. Well, let's see how much it can hold. Okay, it can hold a fire truck. So how much do you weigh? 150 pounds. Okay, I think you're safe. So we go through the whole thing. We look at the rope. We look at the knots. Are we tying everything correctly? Is everything okay? Yeah, it's okay. Then they get on the side of the rock and they start going up, and Lord willing, they make it all the way to the top of 40 feet. But on everybody's first turn, they get to the top and they cling to that rock and they won't let go. And so you're standing at the bottom. You say, okay, now let go of the rock and I'm going to lower you down. No, I can't let go of the rock. Okay. Let go of the rock and I'm going to lower you down, all right? No, I can't let go. I don't think that this is going to hold me. It can hold a fire truck. It can hold you. No, I don't think that I'm going to try to climb down. You can't climb down a cliff. You can't see beyond your feet. You're going to fall. You're going to hurt yourself. Lean back and just trust me. No, you can't hold it. I'm anchored into the ground. I can hold a fire truck right now because I'm anchored. No, look, your knuckles are turning white. You're about to fall. And something bad is going to happen. Let go of the rock. Well, I don't know if the rope is a problem. We looked at the rope. The rope is not a problem. I'm telling you, I've had this conversation once or twice. Maybe for 10 minutes, you go through this. And then finally, they let go. Okay, I'm now letting go. Let go. Okay, I'm letting go. And oh, the rope has me. Yeah, you think the rope has you. Oh, this is easier. I don't think I got to hold on much longer. You're right. It's easier. That's trust. Boy, that's trust. And how many of us are just clinging on for dear life, right? And our knuckles are turning white. And God's saying, let go and hold on to me. But God, I've worked so hard for this. Would you let go? But God, I've built this on my own self and everything looks nice and I made it up here all the way. Would you let go of the rock? God, I think that I can do this on my own. If you're going to hurt yourself, God, can you hold me? I can hold a fire truck. I've got the whole world in my hands. And then we finally let go and trust in the Lord. God, you've got me. Yeah, you think, right? God, this is easier. I know. That's what I've been telling you for 66 books in the Bible. Trust me. And Lord, if you want to pull me up, or if you want to lower me down, whatever you have for me, I just cling to you. Peace is found, the church, when we trust in the Lord. In verse 17, like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in her pangs when she is near to giving birth, so were we because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed, but we have only given birth to wind. Still remember the first time that I read this passage, get into this sentence and thinking, man, what? And understanding how many times I've tried things in my own power, just utterly failed. And that's exactly what Isaiah says. He says, we have accomplished no deliverance in the earth. Israel was supposed to be a priestly nation. They were supposed to shed the light of God to every other nation. He says, we've accomplished nothing, and the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. But your dead shall live. Their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. That is incredible. Church, listen, peace is found when we allow our future just to rest in the hands of the Lord. I mean, how many of us try and try again to no avail? Here's what we got to learn to have peace in the Lord. We have to learn that we are helpless, that we are dead, that we're in need, complete need of the Lord. But when we come to Jesus, here's what we recognize, and here's what we realize, that this life is not the end. I mean, look at this. Isaiah is calling it so far in advance about the resurrection. Your dead shall live. Their bodies shall rise. We know this life is not the end, that the dead shall live, that just as Jesus rose from the dead, that resurrection is in our future. That even though our bodies, our flesh might be buried beneath the earth, that one day God will call us up with his voice and we will rise. Tomorrow is not my future. Today isn't what I place my hope in, but it's in the resurrection of Jesus. Can you imagine how the disciples felt on Friday night after Jesus died? Now, I believe he died on Thursday, but that's another sermon. But it still didn't change how they would feel on Friday night. I know how they felt. Because how many times have I hoped in something and thought this was it, and it has completely disappointed me? How many times have I tried to accomplish something on my own to just find that it was complete and utter mess? And what I thought I was fixing, even I realized I was making more mess than ever before. But church, do you know when we come to Jesus that Friday night is not our reality anymore? But Sunday morning is our reality, because when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, if you believe in me, you are called children of God, and you can walk in this life that I have. And so we don't walk around as if it's Friday night, as if we're sulking still over all what's going on, what's happened. We walk around with the assurance, with the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, with unveiled faces reflecting the glory of the risen Lord. So rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness, reasonableness be known to all, for the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your peace that is ours in Jesus Christ. Father, in a world that is chaotic, may you grant us your peace. May we walk in it. May we come to Jesus when we're in need. And may your peace rest upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.